This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, very happy to be with you today as we spend this time together having holy conversation and hopefully growing in our life of faith as we come together as the mystical body of Christ. Always like to remind you that we're available to you on this live program. We love when you call in with your questions. We certainly do. It makes us all very, very happy around these parts. So I want to invite you to do that. We've got Ryan Penny out there on the phones for you today, and he is eager to hear from you. Let me give you the number to use toll free here in North America, 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. Certainly do invite you to pick up the phone, punch in those numbers, and say howdy, hey to Ryan, and get on the air with us, and let's see what the Holy Spirit does. Oh, my goodness. There is a little song that I remember all the way back from early charismatic days. And it says, great things happen when God mixes with man. Isn't that lovely? Great things happen when God mixes with man. So when we come together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, even by phone here on the air, well, guess what? God is mixing with us. When two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst, they say, right? It says in sacred scripture. So the fact of the matter is, great things do happen when we come together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. God mixes with us, and woohoo! Who knows? Miracles happen. Wonderful things. So do pick up the phone. Give us a call. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We're also available for you out there on social media, so we invite you to get out there and to get to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Our producer, Jeff Burson, is also our social media manager, and he'll grab your questions, comments, insights, inspirations, words of encouragement right there, and he'll get them up on the board for me, and we can take them that way. We can take your text messages, too. Text EWTN to 55000. That's EWTN to 55000. We're eager to hear from you in any manner of ways. Now, more information. I'm just a font of information this morning about communications. You can leave a question for us. And on those days where we take the caller questions that have come in through our caller line, we'll use it, and you'll likely hear your question being answered if you're a regular listener. You can use this number all of the time, 24/7, 205-795-5773. That's 205-795-5773. Or you can use the regular number, 833-288-EWTN, after 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. So there you go. All kinds of ways in which you can join us here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. You know, this morning, the Office of Readings, the second reading, it just was fabulous. So fabulous. I don't know if you've read it or not, but I loved it because it gave great insight and great spiritual advice from a great saint. And that great saint is Saint Gregory of Nyssa. And he's one of my favorites. I just love him very much. And he gives us lots what do I want to say? Spiritual direction through what he writes today. And I thought I'd share just a little bit of it with you at the beginning of the program. And he talks here about the life of the Christian. So I'm just going to read a little portion of this to you. It says, the life of the Christian has three distinguishing aspects: deeds, words, and thought. He says, thought comes first, then words, since our words express openly the interior conclusions of the mind. Finally, after thoughts and words, comes action, for our deeds carry out what the mind has conceived. Isn't that interesting? And what it said to me is the need to take custody of the senses, this absolute need to take custody of the senses. We are formed and shaped in our thinking by that which we take in through the senses, by what we see, by what we hear, even by what we speak, even by what we smell. And so this is the way the evil one can get in. He always comes in through the senses. So when St. John in his epistle tells us, you know, to safeguard our senses, to take custody of our senses, he's telling us a very important rule of the spiritual life. To protect ourselves against the wily tactics, to protect ourselves against temptation, be careful to what we listen to. Be careful with what we look at. Be careful the conversations that we have. Be careful even the sense that we allow, the sense, S-C-E-N-T-S, that we take in, lest in some way all of this leads us into sin. What about this, you know, the olfactory sense? What about that? People say, well, what are you talking about, John? Well, you know, we have to safeguard the senses. Our sense of smell oftentimes will bring back certain memories to us, you know, so we've got to be careful about the scent that we take in. Additionally, if we have a tendency towards gluttony, overeating, or overindulgence of a beverage, we want to take care. We want to watch our olfactory sense, because, you know, you smell something really good. You smell, you know, bread baking in the oven. I'm telling you what, pretty soon you're wanting to eat that whole loaf, right? Well, if overeating, overindulgence, a lack of temperance is a temptation, then we want to make sure that we don't put ourselves in situations like that. You know, so I'm just saying it's very, very important that we take custody of the senses. And here, St. Gregory of Nyssa is saying the very same thing. And he's saying that take custody of the senses. And then he goes on and says, so one of these results in our acting or speaking or thinking, we must make sure that all our thoughts, words, and deeds are controlled by the divine ideal, the revelation of Christ. For then our thoughts, words, and deeds will not fall short of the nobility of their implications. So if we're guarding the senses, if we're protecting that which we take in, then we're protecting the way in which we're thinking, we're protecting the way in which we're speaking, we're protecting the way in which we're acting, because they all interact with each other, right? There's a connection between all of those things. So it's very important how it is that we conduct ourselves, if in fact we are seeking Christian perfection, if in fact we want to grow in holiness and we want to grow in union with God. So just a word from great saints telling us how it is that we should conduct ourselves as children of God. Remember, it says in sacred scripture, and I think it's Paul that says this, put on the mind of Christ, put on the mind of Christ. What we take in through the senses, what we allow ourselves to think, what we read, what we converse about, all of these things are going to impact our capacity to grow in union with our Lord Jesus Christ. It will either further it or it will retard it. So it's up to us on how we want to do it. And that's one of the reasons why I am so in love, if you will, with Catholic radio and with Catholic television. Because here we have the opportunity to hear really good things. And we serve each other's road to holiness. We serve each other on that path to sanctity when we converse with each other on holy matters. It's the way God would want it to be. So the phone lines are lighting up. I am eager to hear from you. Any question, comment, insight, inspiration, word of encouragement you want to share today, we are very happy to receive it and to broadcast it out there for you. Yes, we are. So use this number, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way you can join us live here on Women of Grace live by phone, but you can also join us out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page by using the chat feature or text us at EWTN at 55000. We're going to be right back. Stay with us.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and I am happy to be with you today. I want to give you a couple of numbers that you can use to join us live here on Women of Grace Live via phone. 833-288-EWTN is the number to use. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside of North America, the number for you to use is country code 1-205-271-2986. 205-275-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. Please use that number if you're outside of North America. And you can also be in touch with us today via EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply use the chat feature there. Jeff Burson will get your question, comment, insight, inspiration, word of encouragement from the EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page and get it up on the board for me. We've got callers right now. I'm so happy about that. Continue to make me happy. Talk to Ryan Penny so that he can get you up here. 833-288-EWTN. We've got Rodney with us. He is in Columbus, Ohio this morning. Sirius XM 130 is the way he's listening. Good morning, Rodney.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm doing fine. What about you?
Yeah, we're doing okay. We're at work and driving, and I spoke to you a few times over the last 4 years. My when I first started talking to you, it was in regards to my little sister who was diagnosed with liver cancer. And the last time I spoke with you, I told you when she passed away that we were all together with her, brothers and sisters and her sister-in-law, husband, you know, and spoke about her being able to receive communion prior to, you know, she was still able to get communion, and her parish priest absolved her of her sins. And so we were all together with her, and you told me not to be a stranger. So a year ago, she passed away on July 9th. A year ago, her husband and their children, we all got together again, all of my brothers and sisters and nieces and nephews, and he unveiled the monument for her. And it was a beautiful time. We all had a good time together and lots of visiting, right, and food and family and festivities, and life carries on. And, you know, it was a good time. And lo and behold, this year on, now I got to keep this together here. On March the 15th, my wife was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer.
Oh, Rodney.
And, I chuckle sometimes because I try to make light of the situation, right? It's not, I'm not trying to downplay anything. And so anyways, it was 2 months and 5 days. On May the 20th, my wife passed away.
Oh, my goodness.
And prior to that happening, you know, again, it's our job as sacramentally married couples. I didn't hear this on June 23rd, 1984, when we got married. I did not hear the priest say that. But I have heard it on the radio over the years. So we have worked hard, my wife and I, to prepare ourselves, you know, if this ever happened. And here we are. So on the 15th of May, she went to the hospital, and the parish priest came over and gave her anointing of the sick. On Thursday, he came over, and she was able to have confession again. And she had communion on Thursday. She had communion on Friday. Saturday, she was in a coma. And on Sunday, and again, now all of my brothers and sisters, brother-in-laws, sister-in-laws, nieces, nephews, her sisters, her family, you know, she had over 100 people came to see her in this time and prayed with her and talked with her. And on Sunday, we had communion together with her. She was unable to, and she passed away, and we had her funeral, and we did the best we could to have a good traditional funeral with beautiful music, and it was a great celebration. And on June the 23rd, a couple days ago, we celebrated our start of our 36th wedding anniversary. And it's kind of hard sometimes. You know, as much as I think I kind of got it figured out. Whew. And you've been down this road, Jeanette.
Yes.
It's a rough ride. Holy man alive. It's just, it's tough. Holy crap. So, what can you do to help? You know, in the past, you've given me good words of wisdom and listeners. And the greatest thing of all that I've received out of this is people's prayers.
Yes.
Denise is my wife's name. She had 72 mass cards were given
How beautiful.
To her on the day of her funeral. Yeah.
How beautiful, Rodney.
Yeah, and when people pray for you, say they're praying for you. That to me is the greatest gift that I can get from anybody.
Yeah.
Is to have people's prayers. And so,
well, Rodney, obviously, you know, we're going to pray with you before our phone call ends today. Your moment in grief at this point is so fresh. You know, it's so, so fresh. And there is this beautiful anesthesia that our Lord gives to us to get us through those initial days of the passing of a loved one. And then gradually he allows that anesthesia, this emotional anesthesia, to begin to fade away, because we've got to acknowledge the loss if we're going to move forward. He doesn't want us to remain in a position of, numbness. We have to feel the grief and cope with the grief in order to move past the grief. All of that being said, there's always a grief that remains, and that's okay, but it's not this intensity that we experience in these early days. And I remember, Rodney, when my son Simon died and was killed, the only thing that I could compare it to, this removal of the anesthesia that I felt in those first few days, the only analogy I could come with is that it's sort of like a jackhammer to the heart. You know, the Lord just keeps, as this anesthesia drills away, the reality of it assaults the heart like a jackhammer. And I can remember one time I was sitting on the edge of the bathtub just trying to breathe. I had a hard time breathing deep breaths. I could only shallow breathe. To breathe deeply hurt. Physically hurt. And I was trying to deep breathe. And I said to the Lord, okay, now I understand what grief is like, Lord. And I understand what it's like to lose a loved one. Bring my son back. I get the message. I've learned the lesson. You know, bring him back. Completely irrational thought. But nonetheless, a true response of a mother's heart. And I remember thinking to myself, you know, that if I could just get out of my body for a few moments and then come back, I could handle things better, because the pain was so riveting. And I hear that in your voice, you know, that you're in these early days, and gradually this veil of spiritual anesthesia that the Lord gives us is being withdrawn, so that you, Rodney, can go deep into the grief. But as you go deep into the grief, as you allow yourself to experience that grief, with Jesus, and I will say with his mother, because it was Our Lady that both with the death of my son and the death of my first husband, it was that it was Our Blessed Mother who ministered graces to me under her title of mediatrix or distributrix of all graces. She gave them to me, and I knew that. I just knew it. I just intuited it. I just knew it. And she was so gracious and so kind and so sweet. In the way in which she would apply these graces. And when things come through the hands of Our Lady, they come there with a certain sweetness. They come there with a certain honey that's attached to them that enables us to receive that which is being given, even when sometimes it's a strong dose of reality. So I want to encourage you to walk this holy path with Jesus on one side of you and Our Lady on the other side. And to invite them and to talk with them. Okay, you know, this grief is washing over me, and I feel like I'm going to drown here. So please, Mama, come and help me in this moment. Jesus, you had Peter walk on the water. Help me now not to be overwhelmed by these waves of grief, but rather to rise above them and to walk with you. And as we make our way through this time, this is the key to really being able to mine the treasure of the grief. As we do that, God begins to show us in a supernatural fashion the beautiful pearl of great price that's coming to us in the shrouds of suffering. And we begin to see only through that supernatural gaze that our suffering is beneficial for the one who's passed and becomes for us, in a sense, the greatest form of intercession that we can offer, because it's the very same intercession, Rodney, that Jesus offered to the Father on the cross. And sometimes this grief is like a crucifixion. But when we allow ourselves to appropriate that in union with the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ, salvation comes. I found it so consoling in time when that grief would come, that grief was not without purpose and not without mission, that grief was a taste of Christ's own passion, and that I could unite that for the salvation of my son's soul and the salvation of my husband's soul. And quite frankly, that God anticipated that prayer of intercession from all eternity to apply to that moment when their soul separated from their body at their particular judgment. And so my heart aches for you, Rodney, because I know where you are. And yet I can tell you where you are is a beautiful place. It's a beautiful place when it's lived there in union with our Lord and his mother. And it becomes a beautiful sacrificial offering for your wife. And it becomes a beautiful way in which, in a certain sense, you are affecting, well, it's not in a certain sense, it's in a very true and real sense, you are affecting good in her life. You are still fulfilling your masculine charisms, Rodney, of protection, provision, and guidance. And God in his mercy offers you that opportunity in these very early days. Now, I'm a woman. You're a man. Men and women grieve differently. So I cannot give you advice on masculine grieving. But I can tell you this. I can tell you that acknowledging the grief and working with the grief rather than in opposition to it by trying to bury it or deny it is the fastest way to make good use of the suffering of grief for the sake of the other. For me, I found gravitas about 5 years into my widowhood. About 5 years, I began to feel a certain balance again. I began to understand who I was without my husband. I acknowledged maybe a deeper understanding of who I was and the graces God was giving me to carry on in my own person without him. So it took me about 5 years to feel comfortable that, okay, Johnette, you know, now this is a new application of your identity, but you can do this thing. It was about 5 years. For men, it's different. You know, grief counselors say for men, it's a faster process, and it's usually about 2 years. And so that doesn't mean that you ever forget your loved one, Rodney. You're never going to forget your beautiful wife. You're never going to stop loving your beautiful wife. It just doesn't happen that way. In some cases, you end up kind of loving them more because it's now a sanctified kind of life that comes through the presence of the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't mean that you can't love again. It just doesn't mean that. But you'll always have that special place in your heart for your beautiful wife. And she's praying and interceding for you too. And sometimes you feel those prayers very profoundly. So I don't know if any of that's helped you, Rodney. We're going to pray for you. And don't be a stranger. Call us at any time. We're always here for you. So, Father God, we do come before you in this moment, and we lift up your son, Rodney. And with him, we lift up all of those who have lost loved ones recently, Lord, within the last year or the last 2 years. And Father God, you understand so well what it is to lose someone you love. You willingly gave your son up for sacrifice, but there was a paternal grief associated with that. And you look out into the world today and you see so many souls that are being lost and what pain that must cause you. So you are not unfamiliar with the suffering of your son Rodney now, or all of those who have lost loved ones in the recent past. And you never abandon us, nor do you ever orphan us. You tell us that, and we stand on that word in this moment. We stand on that word in this moment and for all of those moments when we feel so bereft of the presence of the one we love. When that reality of grief jackhammers our heart, we hold on in confidence to the fact that you are with us in that. And that even out of this, you are going to work such a great good, a good that we never could have comprehended had our loved one not passed before us. As we read in Sirach, that beautiful word that is often used as the first reading at a funeral mass, they are at peace. They are at peace. And they desire that we accept the very peace that they've received and come to that place ourselves. And so, even in these moments of Rodney's early grief, Father God, I pray that you give him that peace that surpasses understanding. That he, like a child, and permits himself to be embraced by Holy Mother Church at this time and accepts her ministry of healing for these places within his being that feel so assaulted by this loss. And Mother, I pray that you tuck Rodney into the folds of your garment and you hold him close to you. May he continue to be provider, protector, and guider of his wife, even though she is passed from him through his prayers and intercession. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll be right back, friends. Stay with us.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, friends. We're inviting you to give us a call here live on Women of Grace Live today. The number to use toll free for you right here in the North American continent is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us via phone. You can also join us via social media. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page is available for you there. We just had a beautiful call from Rodney, who lost his wife 35 days ago in these very early stages of grief. And, you know, I shared with him what I could, but you might have something to share with him as well. So I want to invite you to call if you have any kind of a word of advice or a word of consolation for Rodney and for all who are listening today who may not call in that have recently lost a loved one. Again, that's 833-288-3986, 833-288-EW. WTN. We invite all of your questions and comments on any topic that you would like to explore today. We have Julie with us. She's there in St. Louis, Missouri. She's with us via Facebook. Good morning, Julie. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Thank you for my call.
You're welcome.
So I woke up this morning to just a sad story, and it just irks a certain reaction in me, and I just wanted opinions on this. So we have a four-year-old and a two-month-old, and the story was in Fox 2 about a 10-week-old that was found with 91 fractures and obviously died from her injuries, and the dad got murder charges and the wife or the woman didn't, and it's just pathetic charges because they're both guilty. My question was to the screener was, at what point does righteous anger becomes sinful? Because I gotta say, there's a part of me that wants 20 minutes alone with these people in a room and do God's work for them, you know?
Yes.
So I was just thinking that, because it's like, ooh, it just burns. I'm just like, where can I find these people? Obviously, I wouldn't be able to, and I wouldn't go through with that. But, you know, I wonder at what point does righteous anger become, you know, not so righteous.
What an excellent question you asked, Julie. And so I would say this, just on the face of it, just to answer your question, righteous anger becomes sinful when we act out of the anger rather than out of love and compassion. All right, that's when righteous anger becomes sinful. And that's when all anger becomes sinful, when we act out of it. Anger is an emotion that wells up in us. And, you know, we it comes unbidden. Something irritates us, something as horrible as what you're describing. But sometimes, you know, things that are rather trivial will also make us angry. The deal here is we cannot control that emotion, but we cannot control it welling up in us, but we can control the way in which we respond to that emotion. So the response has always got to be one of compassion and one of love. Now, in this situation, it's truly righteous anger. This poor little child, I mean, it's making me angry just to hear the story of it, right? And it's right to be angry at this. It's right to be angry at a fury that is so great and so uncontrolled that it injures and kills another human person. So that is a righteous anger. Righteous anger, it comes from injustice. We call it a righteous anger because it comes from an act of injustice, an act against all that is right, all that is good, all that is pure, all that is holy. This certainly qualifies for that. But now the question is, how do you respond to it? I understand the desire and provocation to want to begin to put this to rights, but we can't put it to rights by another angry deed. The way in which we put it to rights is through love and compassion. What does that mean? That means that
I try to pray for the people and pray for the baby.
That's exactly right. And the baby, I'm sure, is you know, this is a little child, a 2-year-old, right? So this little child has not hit the age of reason. I'm sorry?
10 weeks.
Oh, dear Lord in heaven. Oh, my goodness. All right, so this little baby is obviously not at the age of reason. So this little baby could not have committed a sin. This little baby came, as we all have, scathed with original sin. But there's baptism of desire and things of this nature, and God, in his mercy, attends to that child's spiritual needs. The baptism of the baby is very important, of course, always, and we go for that. But here is a case where a child, an innocent child, is brutalized to the point where it passes. So we pray for the repose of the soul of this little child, but we also pray for these people who have got to be so devoid of knowledge of God and so devoid of receiving the love that he has of them that it could lead them to such an action. So take all of that energy, because anger does produce an internal energy. We all know that. We feel it. Take all of that energy from the anger and now pour it into prayer for this couple, but for all parents who may be tempted and for all children that might be in a situation where they could be abused in such a way by their parents. Now you're taking that anger and you are using it for the good. Okay, you're taking the energy of the anger and using it for the good. Does that help you?
I wonder what God thinks of it. Oh, definitely. I just wonder what God thinks of my heart that I even want to, like, hurt these people the way they hurt the baby, you know?
Well,
I know God judges you for your thoughts and for things like that, I imagine.
Well, God in sacred scripture says, vengeance is mine, meaning that, you know, it's not for you to get even, it's for them to get even. And so, fortunately, you're not going to act on that motivation. You're not going to act on that. But you can ask God, you know, help me. It's beautiful that he showed you this, actually, Julie, that you have that self-knowledge. You say, Father God, you know, help me to mitigate these emotions that I'm feeling, you know, and even if this is rooted in desire, you know, I beg forgiveness that this desire even comes up in me. Whatever frailty or weakness in my being this is locked into, I ask that you would begin a process of healing and a process of restoration, lest I become like the very person that I so disdain at this moment, right?
Right.
So.
Well, I just had to ask because I thought that was a good question, because I'm sure everybody experiences some kind of righteous anger and, you know, something to be curious about.
Well, it's right. And, you know, we righteous anger is righteous, but it doesn't cause for an unrighteous act to follow it. So that's where the rub is. And that's where the, and so I think the Holy Spirit, you know, who always works things to the good, is using this situation to maybe bring out of darkness and to reveal in the light, just an area within yourself where he wants to make himself present to you. See, this is the beautiful thing about the way in which the Holy Spirit works. Whenever the Holy Spirit gives us an illumination of the heart, which is exactly what you've experienced. I mean, this is God's benefaction. This is God's love. It's a sign that the Holy Spirit is about us. It's a sign that the Holy Spirit is in us, quite frankly. That we can tease out of our being these subtleties, right? And it comes by way of illumination of the Holy Spirit. He allows us to see them. And then we have a choice. Well, what are we going to do about that which we see? Are we going to come up with a defense for it? Are we going to try to excuse it away? Are we going to try to make room for it? Are we going to try to rationalize it? Or are we going to begin to deal with it? So ask the Lord, if there's any latent anger in my heart, you know, maybe Julie, I'm just thinking this now, maybe it is that in some way you were treated unjustly in the past, and this has triggered, this incident, this horrible thing has triggered that particular injury that you experienced in your own heart, or that time of injustice in your own life. And maybe the Lord is saying, aha, Julie, what I want to do now is I want to begin a process of healing and restoration in that very place where the enemy has set up, lest the enemy set up camp there. You know, what I want to do is I want to come in with my healing graces, and I want to set up camp there, and I want to begin a process of healing in you in this area. So my suggestion is take this into prayer, Julie. Ask the Holy Spirit to come. Holy Spirit, you've raised this up. Praise be to you for letting me see this potentiality in me. And now help me to see, was there a time in my life that I was treated unjustly that's causing this deep response and deep reaction to this situation in the life of the other? Take me there and let me see it so that I can present this to you as a sacrificial offering. And in taking it and putting it there at the foot of the cross with Jesus, I now invite you, Holy Spirit, into that very territory of my being where that particular injustice was holding court in me without me even knowing it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
Well, I'm glad.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. And let me just compliment you on something. I want to compliment you on the cooperation with the Holy Spirit in even being candid about this, right? Because I'm guessing that more than you needed, perhaps, to look at some interior things that the Lord wants to reconcile.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Okay, Julie. Mm-hmm. So you've got your marching orders and your assignment for the day for your time of prayer.
Thank you. It'll definitely be a great thing to do.
Oh, good. I'm so happy. God bless you, Julie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you too. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye now. There's a beautiful question, right? So maybe you've struggled with this too. You know, we're very happy to hear about it, how you've managed to work through it. We've got Bill with us in Long Island, New York, Sirius XM 130, and he is a first-time caller. I'm going to get my handy little bell here and ding it. Hey, Bill, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good.
I was listening to the radio and some of the I didn't hear Rodney's testimony, but I heard your response to him and encouraging him and that. And then you had asked if anybody had experienced my loss of my wife after 48 years with her. It wasn't just a recent. My wife died 8 years ago now, mm-hmm. December 20th. She had cancer for 11 years. And I had just retired from the fire department, New York City Fire Department, after 33 years.
Well, thank you for your service.
Thank you. And she, within that year, had wound up getting cancer. So I was able to be home all the time, take care of her, to all the different scans. She was on chemo 5 different times, all the stuff that goes along with that.
Yeah.
But I used to, even before I went to work, sit before the Blessed Sacrament before I went into the firehouse and started working my tours. And I remember writing a journal. I journaled all the time. So I had asked the Lord once why he had so much blood coming out of his pores while he was in the garden. I know if you have high blood pressure and you have a bloody nose, that's a good thing, and that's a pressure relief valve. But you had it coming out of your pores, so why? So I heard some words come across my heart as separation. I was going to become sin and be separated from my Father. But the second separation was worse. It's when a soul refuses the mercy of God, the Father, and I are denied the opportunity of embracing that.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, after my wife died, I have found that journal entry. And the grief that I was experiencing, because I went from 24/7 caring for her to coming into a house that was totally empty, totally quiet. I was like put into a desert without a compass. Mm-hmm. And the only thing I knew what to do was to go and sit before the Lord. And I sat for 15 months every day for anywhere between 3 and 5 and 6 hours sometimes, cried, slept there, everything. But when I found that journal entry, I had just got hit with a very large grief. And I crawled into my bedroom and I said to the Blessed Mother, I says, I know that you allowed one of the visionaries from Medjugorje to embrace her mom who was in heaven. If you did that for her, I know you could do that for me. And again, these words came. If you are allowed to embrace your wife now, you will not be able to offer your sufferings to the Lord. What I was offering to God was the fact that when I found that journal entry, I knew that I could not embrace my wife anymore. So I could identify what God the Father was feeling. He was denied the opportunity of embracing a soul. So I told him that I would offer this suffering up to him to console him by winning the grace to get a soul back to his embrace. And that's what I would do with that grief. So when he said, if you are allowed to embrace your wife at this moment, you will not be able to offer that suffering anymore. I just denied it then. I said, no, I want to continue when this comes up. I will still offer it. And it still comes up every once in a while. I miss her at times very terribly. We had a wonderful marriage, you know, 5 kids and 12 grandchildren. So I wanted to offer that to Rodney. And if somebody offers you coffee to come out, that's baby steps to go back out and embrace life again.
That's right.
And after 15 months, I met a companion. We're still very good friends. We eat dinner every night together. She lives in her home. I live in my home. And one of the things that happened was after I buried Judy, within that month, I wound up going into AFib because I had, you know, I experienced such a tremendous loss with the grief and that. Thank God I don't have that anymore, but that was another side effect. But sitting before the Lord was my consolation, you know.
Well, Bill, I'll tell you what, you have shared such words of wisdom with us, and you know, the way in which the Holy Spirit has gifted you with these insights, you know, all of which are absolutely exquisite, is an indication of the good fruit of all of those hours before him that began with your wife Judy being alive and you before work going in to serve your people through your profession. And they have ministered to my heart tremendously today. And I know that they've ministered to the heart of very many. And you are right. I mean, the sitting before the Blessed Sacrament is the place where we find true consolation, true hope, and true encouragement. And, you know, it's been 8 years since you've lost Judy. And, you know, these moments of grief still come on. They will always. And there's always that place in your heart that's connected to her. Mm-hmm. But the reality is we have the benefit of the history of our grieving and what God's shown us through that history to be able to live through those overwhelming moments of grief that happen. And, you know, I want to say this too, because I think that, you know, it's important to be stated that, when we lose someone deeply, it doesn't mean that we can't love again. And I want to state that again, because, of course, that's my experience. And I, for a long time, just didn't think that I would ever marry again. I just didn't think it. And yet, you know, God knew. And again, I state, there is still a love that you will always have for the spouse that you lost, but it's a new love. You don't love this new person in the same way as you loved your first spouse. You love them in a way that is particular to them. And I think it's part of the gift of God that He keeps expanding our hearts. And I think that even the grieving process, you know, expands the heart to be able to accept others in, either through marriage or just through, you know, the beautiful relationship that you have with this lovely lady that you go to dinner with, or, you know, the compassion. Actually, it's a compassion, but it's a type of empathy that you can offer to someone who has lost his wife, or in my case, you know, a woman who has lost her husband, because you know and you've been there. And you have been a beautiful, beautiful, I think, witness today to how we should make it through those terrible moments of suffering that we endure. The other thing is, I want to comment on this too, because I think that this speaks so beautifully to the work of grace in you, that, you know, basically our Blessed Lady offered you a choice, didn't she? You know, it reminds me a little bit about of the choice that she offered to Maximilian Kolbe. Well, you can have this or you can have that. And he said he would do both. But the idea being, there is a type of martyrdom that's involved with this sacrificial offering. And the great grace.
We were given a lot of, Judy and I were given a lot of grace. And I don't want to take up a lot of your time, but when I retired, my wife had suffered 36 years in our marriage. She had an autoimmune disease called Stevens-Johnston, where it was very powerful, very painful and severe, where they told us to abort our fourth child. And when she was in the hospital, I had gone, I was at that point, I was arguing, fighting with God. You're putting me to the test over a baby. You're going to lose me. Well, when I went in to see my wife, she told me we were having a baby girl and everything was going to be fine. I said, well, how do you know that? When she was praying the rosary last night, she said that there was a presence in the room, and they told me to name the baby after the Blessed Mother and everything would be fine. Her name is Regina Marie. Now, that was before sonograms for babies. Mm-hmm. So fast forward, when I retired, I said, you're probably going to be mad at me, but I made a doctor's appointment for you because you haven't been there in a while. Well, again, she went in. She had to get a biopsy immediately of her breast. When she came out, she was crying, and she told me, you're going to think I'm crazy, but Padre Pio came to me in the room full face. And the only thing, I don't know where these words came from, but what I said to her, I says, I don't know what you have, but I have a feeling you're going to take on the passion of Jesus, and I'm going to be like Our Lady, a loving, prayerful support. So for those 11 years, I journaled every day and paralleled the passion of Jesus with the sufferings of my wife. And when she died, there were six priests on the altar, and the main speaker said, "When he'll take this to the grave with him. When he saw Judy, he saw Jesus Christ scourged and crucified, and her husband was Our Lady at the foot of the cross." And the atmosphere in the church just changed. Like the air conditioner went on or something, and I just said to one of my daughters, I said, every heart was just pierced. Every heart knew what your mother just went through, you know? And she did look like that. She had, this is all caused by cancer. She had two holes in her feet where Jesus' nails were. They were scabs on her feet. And what I did, I journaled every day, and I kept this to myself. But this Lent, I decided to give this gift to my kids and my grandkids. And I'm giving them one page at a time from the journal of the conversations I had with the Lord and the offerings and the crying. And now there's 65 people that want it and that are on my little, I guess, text. I give them one page a day.
Wow, Bill. Well, thank you for giving us this page today, and we receive it. And you leave us on a note that wants to lead us into a deeper meditation of the grace of the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, the way in which we can enter into that passion and the tremendous, tremendous grace that can be wrought through it. You've blessed us. Thank you so very much for your call today, Bill. Friends, thank you for being with us. Until we have the opportunity to be together again, I just ask that we praise and thank our Lord for the wonders that He works in and through all things. Till we're together again, God bless you now. Bye-bye.